to another inspirational message from Pastors Dave and Jenny Gilpin. Dave and Jenny are the senior pastors of Hope City Church. For any more information or for any more resources, go to davegilpin.com.
Wow, I have really have a word on my heart this morning to speak into this house, and I am excited about the future. I'm very excited that I believe God is going to be, if you're wondering who's going, these are the teenagers going up to get in, on fire for Jesus. Give them a hand as they go. I feel like I just need to relax into this for a minute after that big announcement. So this week, the beginning of the week, I went to a castle in Scotland, and it was perhaps one of the most surreal parallel universe experiences of my entire life. So I arrive at the door of this castle, and Sir Jack Stuart Clark meets me at the door with Lady Lydia, with the two red setters. It was everything that you see on the movies, comes out with his fob watch, and so we go in and we have a three-course dinner with a maid. Breakfast with Sir Jack the next morning, and then a brigadier turns up, who tells me he organised the land invasion of Iraq. I'm like, where exactly am I right now? It was the most bizarre, wonderful, surreal 48 hours. But Sir Jack is coming to Sheffield here at the end of November with his crew. Because he wants to link with us with the work we do in City Hearts. And one of the most amazing thing too was a survivor came and told her story. And this beautiful survivor, of who is someone we have looked after, who has come to faith, has been invited to Princess Eugenie's wedding. So it was just the most amazing 48 hours, and time will tell and see what happens. So are you relaxed again now? I'm not. Oh, you could hear a pin drop in this place. Right, I'm just going to get stuck in. You ready? It's an interesting watch at the moment, the way society works. Even Brexit is like watching Kumbaya around the campfire of fluid persuasion. I'm just about to do a mic drop in South Yorkshire. You ready? You may not like Theresa May, but I do admire her conviction. Oh, that went down like a lead bomb in Labour land. But I do admire her conviction. Like, she's not moving. Whether that's good or bad, I'm not commenting on that, okay? I'm just saying I like the woman's conviction. She's stalwart. That's what she is. Who would want Theresa's job? None of us. It's almost like conviction has become a no-go. Like a conviction marks you for some reason, but conviction is actually a guaranteed outcome and on a life purpose in what has maintained the bedrock of society. Conviction maintains the bedrock of society. With an absence of conviction, there is a melee of uncertainty. A very famous Prime Minister Winston Churchill, yes, I've gone there this morning, made some famous speeches. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. I won't even try to do the voice. We shall fight on the seas and oceans, and we shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island. Listen, I can say our island because I did my Britishness test on Thursday. And I know more about your country now than you know yourselves. I know facts that I'll never use ever again in my life. Whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches, we shall fight on the landing grounds, and we shall fight in the fields and in the streets, and we shall fight in the hills, and we shall never surrender. That was my try. The day may dawn when fair play and love for our fellow man, and respect for justice and freedom will enable tormented generations to march forth serene and triumphant from the hideous epoch in which we have to dwell. Meanwhile, never flinch, never weary, and never despair. Our conviction and our sacrifice and our determination to stand will do just that. And that line when it says, we will enable tormented generations to march forth serene and triumphant from the hideous epoch in which we have to dwell, is God's heart for humanity. Our conviction and our sacrifice and our determination will usher in and herald a generation who, through the heroism of our purpose, will be free and free from bondage in their spirits. So I want to read to you this morning, I want to come as I begin to speak today from the story of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was committed to the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. And he had been opposed before as to his purpose and his conviction. And again, he was opposed again. And even the title in my Bible says, more opposition to rebuilding the wall. And it says in Nehemiah 6, let me read to you, Nehemiah 6, verse 1 to 4. Oh, this is not there. It's there. Okay. When the word came to all these guys, and then it says, and to the rest of my enemies. Now I want to speak to these guys today and the rest of your enemies. Let me name the rest of our enemies. Hardship, pain, disappointment, insecurity, finance, family, discouragement, tiredness, and the rest. They're always there trying to stare us in the face, and they're always there trying to take us down so we walk away from our purpose. And then it goes on, says that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it. And then it says, come, let us meet together, the enemies. Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me. So I sent messages to them with this reply. I am carrying on a great project and I cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Four times they sent me the same message and each time I gave them the same answer. Hope City Church this morning, today we give the same answer. This morning we have heard an unexpected curveball to our church. But this morning we do not come down off the wall. This morning we are determined, yet again, as Dave and I have always been for the last 28 years, that we are here to win a society that needs Jesus. And if someone's going to get murdered outside the front of Centertainment, we have something to do. We have a voice. We have an answer for our community. And we will not come down off the wall because of disappointment or despair or discouragement or news. We will stay steadfast to the purpose which God has called us to. Today we are giving the same answer. When your Sembalet and whatever it may be tries again to open its constrictive mouth and says to you, come down from your high view to the village of smallness and dwell a while on the plains here with no visionary view. And it says, let me come back with you to this persistent request. So the ask alone will wear you down. And you will come down and walk away from your life purpose and strong faith in God. There is a constant attack and erosion on conviction, on steadiness, on the refusal to step down when our inner compass is challenged. Anybody with me this morning? 1 Peter chapter 5. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace,
who called you into his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, steadfast. I think the world needs a little bit more of strong, firm, steadfast. Maggie and Phil here today, 50 years married. It's not been easy. They've had to live with each other for 50 years. Strong, firm, steadfast, deliberate, stuck in the boots of conviction that do not move upon the waves of life. A body of believers who rise to the challenge with effort and determination. The reason I'm reading so much of this today is because when I write, it just flows. And then if I don't say it, I've got nothing else to say. So. A body of believers who stay on the wall when every temptation is calling them to step down to plain and village dwelling. We will stay on the wall. This is the time of the conviction. When we send the reply that Nehemiah sent. In Nehemiah 6, verse 8 to 9, nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work. Let me just say, these hands are not too weak. Your hands, your feet, you're not too weak for the work. Don't listen to the lies that come in the dead of night and try to speak into your mind and say it's time to come down to plain and village viewing. We are a church that has a vision to touch and change the nations around the world. We are a church here in Sheffield that are committed to bringing life change to South Yorkshire. Is anybody with me this morning? Now is not the time to come down off the mountain to plain and village viewing. But I prayed. Now strengthen my hands. Nehemiah said, I can see they have been trying to intimidate me. And then in Nehemiah 6:16, it says this. When all the enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid, lost their confidence, because they realized that this work had been done with the help of God. We don't have conviction this morning in nothing. We have conviction this morning in a very faithful God. And conviction is a much maligned and misused terminology in our day and age. Conviction is accused to be bigoted and cruel. And in many instances, it has been used to be bigoted and cruel. That is not my point today. Our conviction speaks of an end game where we know the one who holds the sun, the moon, and the stars in his hands. Our conviction is that our lives are held and are hedged in behind and before. Our conviction is not based on empty truth or vague promise. We have a confidence and conviction that says, as it says in Philippians 1 verse 6, I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on until completion, until the day of Christ Jesus. We have this conviction. We have a conviction that God is faithful. We have a conviction that God is loving. We have a conviction that God is our provider. We have a conviction, is anybody with me, that God is in control. We have a conviction that our God knows the end from the beginning. We have a conviction that our God is all-knowing. We have a conviction that our God is with and for us and He is mighty to save. We have a conviction this morning that our God sits on the throne this morning and His promises are not empty. We have a conviction this morning that our God does not lie and He is all truth. We have a conviction this morning that He is the way, the truth, and the life. We have a conviction today that men need Jesus. We have a conviction today that He will remain fruitful and faithful to you because He cannot deny who He is. That is our conviction. Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are flawless, like silver purified in a crucible, like gold refined seven times. I'm going to use a word now, and when I wrote it in my notes, I thought I'm going to get picked on by my family for using big words, because my husband and son always pick on me for using big words. I said, well, my parents paid a lot of money for me to learn those big words. So I'm going to say it, and then I'll explain what it means. You ready? I don't know whether I can. Our conviction does not lie in spurious thought. I know. You feel safe now. Your pastor had an education. Or intellectual prowess, which is why I put it in the sentence. Because our conviction does not lie in our intellect. Our conviction and our confidence lies in a God who never ever changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our God is not surprised. So what does conviction look like when it stares us back from the mirror? What I do know is that conviction kept Nehemiah on the wall. Conviction caused Noah to build an ark. Conviction birthed Abraham a son. Conviction caused the walls of Jericho to fall. Conviction led Moses across the Red Sea. Conviction kept Joseph in prison. Conviction sent Jonah back to Nineveh. Conviction sent Paul to Rome. Hebrews 12 says it, who through faith, these people conquered kingdoms, administered justice and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength and who became powerful in battle. Routed foreign armies. Don't you love the word of God? And finally, not finally, I've got more to say, but finally in this section. Finally, conviction meant Jesus did not walk away from the cross. Conviction meant that Jesus did not walk away. He went there. Conviction is not a feeling. Conviction weathers adversity and actually smiles in the face of an uncertain future. Conviction is unmovable and steady. Conviction is strong and sometimes silent. Conviction is resolute in the face of challenge. Conviction puts its feet under the table and sits. Conviction stands and having done all to stand. Conviction commits to Christ-like values when society suggests otherwise. Conviction responds with kindness when hatred is preached. Conviction is to be strapped on daily as a belt of truth. And conviction prophesies future by its commitment to the present. Did you hear me? Conviction prophesies future by its commitment to the present. Conviction is a boundary that makes you walk into God's purpose for you. Conviction is a barrier that fuels your promotion. Conviction looks good on you. I have a conviction today. And this morning, I'm going to proclaim my conviction over you. Are you ready? Students, I have a conviction that you will stand in the midst of your time in college and university, and you will hold true to your faith and your morals, and you will not just stand, but you'll be such a light that men will ask of you, what is it that resides in you, and how can I have that which steadies your life and gives you confidence in your future? Students, that is my conviction for you. Young adults, I have a conviction. I can say this because I'm so old. I have done all these stages. Young adults, I have a conviction that you will not compromise and bow down to the morals and the leadings of this age. You will not be seduced by the love of money and the spirit of the age, but your hearts will be filled with the real water of the spirit of the living God. That is my conviction. Parents, I have a conviction for you that you, as you stand in this house, God will not only bless you, but your children and your children's children shall serve, love, and know God. And now, my friends of a certain age, hello. That have loved and served God for many decades. My conviction for you is that your youth will be renewed like the eagles, and that your hands will be full of anointing, wisdom, and renewed energy. That you and I will go to our old age with many generations behind us following our example. If I can do it with two artificial hips, if Jean Parker can go into prisons at 70-something years old, come on, people of a certain age, we have much to do. We are not going to reside on the bench of the retired, but we are going to come out of that place and we're going to lead a generation to follow us, to touch and know God. Is anybody with me today? And my conviction over this church this house, which Dave and I have loved and nurtured from its inception in our hearts over 28 years ago, is firstly, as Dave Cartledge prophesied over us in 2002. He said back then, I saw a strange vision as I was praying over this church. I saw the mega center moving. I saw it first imperceptibly, just an inch or two, and then it was a chain or two, and then it started to move more rapidly. The whole building was moving, and it moved until it came into the very center of town, and everything was revolving around it. And I felt the Lord say that in small ways to begin with, but then with rapid speed, God is going to move you into the very center of this city until the city begins to revolve around you and until you become indispensable to the life of this community. This is 2002. This is before City Hearts was even birthed. Small things will start to take place, and then it will start to happen with greater speed and with a greater rush. Until there comes a day in which everything that is happening in the city is somehow linked to you in some powerful way by the Spirit. God intends to position you in a place where you cannot be ignored. And then, 4 days as I was writing, today I prophesy The Lord would say, I come like a rushing wind, but in an unexpected guise and in an unexpected turn of events. Jesus entered into Jerusalem in an unexpected way, and Jesus himself redeemed the whole world in a way that was not celebrated or esteemed. But my spirit is coming again to you, Hope City Church, wrapped in the parcel today of the unexpected. A new wind and a new way, but the same purpose and the same plan to make you as a house absolutely indispensable to the life of this city and this region. Men and women have a cry in their hearts right now in this region. It is a cry of hopelessness and fear as the younger generation are finding themselves drawn into even more destructive behavior. But I have heard, says the Lord. I have heard, says the Lord. I have heard, says the Lord. I have heard their cry. And I have heard the travail of those that have prayed and believed and prayed and believed for this region. And now, in the guise of an unexpected turn of events in this house, and an unexpected season in this house, I'm about to move again in an unprecedented way. The favor that will be attracted to this place will circumvent the natural law and will pierce through the prejudice that are leveled toward the church. And an uncommon openness will rise amongst the hearts of both the broken and the privileged. It's like eyes will be open and hearts drawn towards this place. The eye that had previously been the eye of suspicion will be the hand of openness. And many will want to join hands to say, how can we make this city great again? It's like I can see in my spirit what was previously opaque glass becoming see-through, and the community literally stepping into and through the glass. So do not fear, my people. Do not lose heart or think in your heart that this is the end. For truly this is just the beginning of the unfolding, of the unfurling of the banner of God over this city and over this region. Your hearts will be free. Your hearts will be full. Your dry bones will awaken, and sinew and life and breath will blow through you. And you will be astounded as the breath of life and living water encompasses and envelops you. Do not fear. Stand steady. Stand strong. Stand to your conviction. We sang a song earlier. We sang, we can't go back to the beginning. Be nice if I was, if I could, I was 25 at the beginning. Can't control what tomorrow will bring, but conviction ushers in tomorrow. But I know here in the middle, this place of conviction is the place you promised to be. And our cry is, will you meet us here again? Not for a minute was I forsaken. And then it says, come Holy Spirit, dry bones awaken. We are going to sing that. I want you to stand with me right now. We're going to sing to the heavenly realms again this morning. We are going to capture the heart of God and the vision for this church and this region that has been here in Dave and my heart since we saw the Hillsborough disaster on TV in 1989. To this point, we have not seen stadiums full, but we will. Begin to prophesy, Rajay.
Not for a minute.
Come on, reach out to
was I forsaken.
Reach out to God.
The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, dry bones awaken.
Dry bones awaken.
The Lord is in this place.
Reach out
the
for
Lord
God to come
is
in you.
In this place.
Come on, reach out.
Not for a minute was I forsaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord.